Hello, and welcome to this study guide podcast on one of the most famous poems in the English language, Shakespeare's Sonnet 18, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day? I'm here to help you unlock the secrets of this beautiful poem and, more importantly, show you exactly how to earn top marks when you're writing about it in your OCR GCSE English Literature exam. Now, you might be thinking, it's just a love poem, right? Well, yes and no. On the surface, it's about comparing someone to a summer's day. But what makes this sonnet absolutely brilliant is that it's actually about the power of poetry itself to defeat time and death. By the end of this podcast, you'll understand why examiners love candidates who can discuss the metatextual dimension of this poem. So let's dive in. Let's start with the opening question. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Notice that Shakespeare doesn't just say, you are like a summer's day. He asks a question, which immediately engages the reader. But here's the twist. He then spends the next 7 lines explaining why summer is actually not a good comparison. Summer has rough winds, the sun is sometimes too hot or gets covered by clouds, and crucially, summer's lease hath all too short a date. Everything in nature is temporary. Everything fades. This is where you need to understand the context. In Renaissance England, poets often used what's called the Petrarchan blazon, a tradition where you compare your beloved to beautiful things in nature. Shakespeare is deliberately subverting this tradition. He's saying, nature? Not good enough. My beloved is better than nature because nature is imperfect and temporary. Now, let's talk about structure, because this is where AO2 marks are won or lost. Sonnet 18 follows the Shakespearean sonnet form, 3 quatrains and a rhyming couplet, written in iambic pentameter. That's 14 lines with a specific rhyme scheme, ABAG, CDCD, EFEF, GG. But why does this matter for your exam answer? Because the form creates the argument. The first 2 quatrains set up the problem. Nature is flawed and temporary. Then, at line 9, we get the volta, the turning point. But thy eternal summer shall not fade. That word but is absolutely crucial. It signals the shift from criticism of nature to the solution, poetry. In the final quatrain and couplet, Shakespeare makes his bold claim, so long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. The word this refers to the poem itself. He's saying, as long as people read this poem, you will live forever. That's the eternalizing metaphor, the idea that poetry can grant immortality. And here we are, over 400 years later, still reading it. He was right. Let's talk about language. The phrase eternal summer is an oxymoron. Summer, by definition, is a season, which means it's temporary. But Shakespeare creates an eternal summer through art. The personification of death, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, shows that even death has no power over the subject because they exist in the eternal realm of poetry. One more thing, the iambic pentameter. That's a heartbeat rhythm. D-dum, 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 D-dum. 10 syllables per line, 5 stressed beats. This regularity mirrors the constancy and permanence of the love being described. When you write about this in your exam, don't just say Shakespeare uses iambic pentameter. Explain that the steady, unbroken rhythm reinforces the theme of eternal, unchanging love. Right. Let's talk about how to avoid the mistakes that cost candidates marks. First, do not fall into the biographical fallacy. Students often write, Shakespeare is writing about his wife, Anne Hathaway. We don't know who the poem is about. It's likely part of the Fair Youth sequence, but even that's debated. What matters is the speaker's attitude and the poetic techniques, not Shakespeare's personal life. Second, feature spotting. If you write, Shakespeare uses iambic pentameter and a rhyme scheme, you'll get minimal credit. You must analyze the effect. Why does the regular rhythm matter? How does the rhyming couplet at the end provide closure and confidence? Third, ignoring the volta. The turn at line 9 is where the argument pivots. If you don't analyze this shift from nature is flawed to but poetry is eternal, you're missing the entire structure of the poem. Fourth, when you're comparing Sonnet 18 to another poem in the anthology, make sure the comparison is sustained and integrated. Don't write half your essay on Sonnet 18 and then half on the other poem. Weave them together in every paragraph. For example, you might compare the speaker's confidence in Sonnet 18 with the speaker's uncertainty in another poem. And finally, remember your AO weightings. AO1 is 35%, that's your argument, and use of quotations. AO2 is 35%, that's analysis of language, form, and structure. AO3 is 20%, that's context. and AO4 is 10%, that's spelling, punctuation, and grammar. You need all four to hit the top levels. Okay, let's test your memory. I'll ask a question, and you should pause and answer it before I give you the answer. Question 1. What is the Volta in Sonnet 18, and which line does it occur on? Answer. The Volta is the turning point where the speaker shifts from criticizing nature to praising poetry. It occurs at line 9. But thy eternal summer shall not fade. Question 2. What does the phrase eternal lines to time mean? Answer. It refers to the lines of poetry that will last forever, giving the subject immortality. Question 3. What is the rhyme scheme of a Shakespearean sonnet? Answer. Abub, CDCD, EFF, GG. Question 4. What literary tradition is Shakespeare subverting in this sonnet? Answer. The Petrarchan blazon, where the beloved is compared to beautiful elements of nature. Brilliant. Let's wrap up. Sonnet 18 is not just a love poem, it's a poem about the power of poetry to conquer time and death. When you write about it, focus on the structure. The three quatrains building the argument, the volta at line 9, and the confident rhyming couplet. Analyze the language, personification of death, the extended metaphor of summer, the oxymoron of eternal summer, and integrate context, the Renaissance tradition of the eternalizing metaphor and the subversion of the Petrarchan blazon. Remember, embed your quotations, analyze the effective techniques, and sustain your comparison if you're writing about a second poem. Do that, and you'll be well on your way to a top-level response. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your revision. Now, go and make those eternal lines work for you in the exam.